Blog Talk Radio.
Trust and obey. There's no other way. There's no other way to make it in the Lord but to trust, and obey. Well, we are in studio today to do this new manna series. I hope you're excited. I hope you're ready to begin this new teaching. It lines up with what I've been doing with Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the Lord's vision for our church in 2023. And the whole thesis of that sermon series is we have our focus, we have our sights in only one, the Lord. It is the Lord who is our vision. The theme song for this Sunday, for the month of January was Be Thou My Vision. That was the theme song. The hymn of the month was Be Thou My Vision. Who are we singing that to? Well, we were singing it to the Lord. So, Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're taking a different approach. We're taking a different stance. We're doing it a different way. Some will trust in chariots. Others will trust in horses. But we, the people of God, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Heavenly Father, we turn to you in this hour of need. We turn to you, Lord, in this hour of scripture, in this hour of the word. Bless us, O God, we pray, as we start this new series, as we continue to our faith in you, the one true and living God, the God who has redeemed our souls, the God who has saved us. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. I have provided you with six different translations of Psalm 20, verse 7. I started out by reading the King James Version. If you look at the outline, the word trust is in blue. And the following version or translation, the word take pride is in blue. The following translation, boast is in blue. Rely in the next translation is in blue. Call is in blue. And are strong is in blue. All of these different translations have inserted their particular favorite phrase or word to give us the understanding of what David is trying to say in Psalm 20, verse 7. Now, the word trust is not in your Bibles. It's not been inserted. How do you know it's been inserted? Well, look at the word trust. It appears italicized. Notice the word some. Some is not italicized. In chariots is not italicized. And some in horses is not italicized. As you can see, the only word italicized in your Bible, if you're reading the King James Version as I am, the only word italicized in verse 7 is the word trust. The translators leave certain words italicized to let you know it does not appear in the original Hebrew text. It's not there. The translators took the liberty of inserting it in order for the text to make certain sense. So, if you go down to the bottom of the page, famed commentator William S. Plummer noted, the word trust is not found in the Hebrew anywhere in this psalm. It's not found in verse 1 through 9. You can't find the word trust, which is the Hebrew word bata. You can't find the Hebrew word bata in the text. So Plummer said the word trust is not found in the Hebrew anywhere in this psalm, nor is it supplied by any of the ancient versions. The correct rule in such cases is to supply the verb, which is trust, from the immediate context, if that will make good sense. And it does. The fact that the King James translators inserted the word trust makes good sense because this whole psalm is about trusting the Lord. You see, the ungodly, those who don't walk with God, those who despise God, those who have turned their backs on God, do not put their trust in him. Do not bata him. But we, the godly, that's all we do. We can't help but to put our trust, our confidence, our hopes, our tomorrows, our future, our destiny, our eternity in the hands of our God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we, along with David and along with others, we will put our trust and we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, I have for you four examples in the next couple of days as we do this four-part series. I will be providing you, as I did last week. Remember last week I gave you four examples out of the first seven chapters of Genesis. Well, I'm going to give you four examples out of the Old Testament of how some people put their trust in chariots and in horses, and they failed miserably. So the first example is the armies of Pharaoh. The armies of Pharaoh trusted in chariots and horses, but Moses and Israel trusted in the Lord. We have as our principal text Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 31. Later on, you can read Exodus 15:4, Exodus 15:19. You can read Deuteronomy 11:4 and Joshua 24:6 at your convenience. But for now, we're going to be looking at Exodus 14, verses 1 through 31, to show a contrast between those who do not serve the Lord and what they put their trust in, and what we, the people of God, put our trust in. Now remember, this is about the church militant. We are the church militant. You cannot escape the fact that whether you look at the Old Testament or you look at the New Testament, God's are always ready for battle. You must be, because we serve God. We love God. We chase after God. We pursue God. And God's enemy, God's arch enemy, God's fiendish enemy, hates the fact that we love the Lord and that he loves us and that he is our God and we are his covenant people. Satan hates that. The old devil, that old serpent, Satan, the dragon, he hates the fact that the people of God can't get enough of God. So, as a result of us loving on the Lord and cleaving to the Lord and holding on to the Lord for dear life, Satan puts a bullseye on our back. And even though we're not looking for a fight and we're not itching for a fight, he attacks us, and we have no choice but to fight back. So, Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt, and Pharaoh is out to get them. He's out to enslave them again. He just let them go, and he is kicking himself because he did so. And so now let us turn to Exodus 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 31. Now, Pharaoh and his army, the Egyptians, they are trusting in chariots and in horses. They're believing that chariots and horses are going to tip the balance of power. Moses and the children of Israel rely solely on the Lord. So here we have it. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 31.
Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal-Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord.
And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said,
Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?
So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses,
"Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness."
"Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace."
And the Lord said to Moses,
"Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen."
And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall for them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said,
"Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians."
And the Lord said to Moses,
"Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots, and on their horsemen."
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses.
So here we have our first example. We have the mighty Egyptian empire with its advanced military. Now, when you read these two quotes, I have a quote on top called "Weapons and Warriors." Read that, and then look at the pictures, and you'll see what disadvantage the people of God found themselves in. But you see, we see things with the human eye, and we say, look at the Egyptians, look at what they have. And we look at ourselves and we say, well, we don't have any of that, and we think we're at a disadvantage. And the fact is, we are always at a great advantage. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is the one who fights for us. Remember this past Sunday when we talked about how Moses said to Joshua, and the Lord of hosts will be with you. He will fight for you. Stand back, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Here in Exodus 14:30, if you go with me to Exodus 14:30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Thus he saved Israel. Not that they saved themselves, he saved them. And then in verse 31, and Israel saw that great work. They witnessed it. You see, some, like the Egyptians, will put their trust, their confidence in chariots and in horses. But we, the people of God, will not put our trust in anything created. You know, take for example, look at these two pictures. Look at the two pictures we have here. Okay. Everything in those pictures is created. For example, who created man? God did. The two charioteers on each one of those chariots, those are Egyptians. They are men. God created man. So that's the first thing that's created there. Then the second thing is, what else is created? The horses. Who made the horses? God made the horses. And then finally, who made the chariots and the bows and the spear? Who made the armaments? Well, man did. So there are three things created. The armaments, the chariot is created. The wheels are created by man. The bows and arrows and the spears, all that military stuff, technology, if you will, all of it is created by man, whom, by the way, was created by God, whom, by the way, the horses were created by God. There is no creature or group of creatures that can defeat the Lord. There is nothing created that could defeat the Lord. This is why we are at such a great advantage over our adversaries or foes, whomever they may choose to be. Why? the Lord fights for us. He will always save the church, and the church will always see the great work that God will do on our behalf. David said, King David wrote Psalm 20, and he said, some trust in chariots. Some take pride in chariots. Some boast of chariots. Some rely on chariots. Some call on chariots. Some are strong in chariots. But we, on the other hand, will trust, will take pride, will boast, will rely, will call, and are strong in the Lord. That's the difference. That's the vision. See, the vision is, yes, we are, listen, we're going to have multiple battles. It's the nature of the calling. We are Christian soldiers. There's no avoiding it. There are two armies. It's the army of light versus the army of darkness. It's good versus evil. It's God versus Satan. It's the church versus the apostates. There's no way around it. No way. You can't escape this reality. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are what? Against me. You notice the language. If you're not for me, you are against me. So, the ungodly will trust in everything created. You know, when they march into battle and they have their gods painted on their banners, their gods are created. The gods are a creation of their imagination. The attributes that they give to their gods are attributes that they've given to them. They're not real. Those gods aren't real. They're made up. Whether demons make them up and then men adopt them as demons whisper these ideas into their ears, or whether the gods are man-made. Whether they're demon-created or man-created, they're created. And these gods cannot fight the one true living God. So this is why this series is so important, because again and again we will find in Scripture that man, ungodly man, unredeemed man, unsaved man will rely on things created, and the church relies on the Creator. We rely on the Lord of hosts, he who commands the four armies, the angelic army, the human army, the creature army, and the nature army. We depend on the Lord. So let me encourage you again to read the two quotes that I have here, weapons and warriors, and also read Egyptian infantry. We'll be back tomorrow to continue with part two in this series. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and I hope to see you in a little while at our weekly prayer meeting. God bless you, saints.
Yeah.